All right, great to be with you tonight, and what a privilege, what an honor to be with you and Pastor Klaus and Merrimack Valley Baptist Church. I want to thank you, first of all, for your prayers, your support of our ministry. It's been over 20 years since we left to the Feet of the Romania, and Merrimack Valley Baptist Church has been supporting us since we left for the field in 1994, and it's always, it's a missions church when you walk into the church and people know you by name and they say they've been praying for you and praying for the ministry. So that's a blessing to us to know that you're thinking about us, praying for us, excited for missions, and we're just so thankful to you and all that you've done and supporting our family on the field in Romania. And so tonight I want to talk about missions, talk about what the Lord's been doing through us and what the Lord's been doing in Romania and Europe. And so let's stand, take our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this evening. Acts chapter 13. We're just going to read verse 4. Acts chapter 13 and verse 4. And it says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cephalucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the privilege of being in your ministry, the privilege of taking the gospel to people that are lost in their sins and in this area and around the world. And Lord, just help us to renew our dedication and our determination to serve you with all our hearts and with all our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You think about this verse. This verse is the first missionaries sent out of the early church. Paul and Barnabas, the Holy Spirit, they were serving in the church. And the Holy Spirit said, "Call out Saul and Barnabas for the work that I'm going to send them." And so they, being called, sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from the church and went out to bring the gospel to the regions beyond. Now, if you think about this, when they left the church in Jerusalem, I don't think they had in mind what they were going to face, the difficulties, the trials, the places God was going to lead them, and all that entailed them going and bringing the gospel to these regions beyond. And of course, they also had the many blessings. They saw all the churches that were started, and today we have the epistles of many of the books in the Bible that were churches started by Paul on these missionary journeys. And so as they went out, they didn't know the trials that they would face, but they also were expectant to see the blessings of God, how God would use them as they took this step of faith, as they departed and launched out. Now think for a minute. As they went out and went out this first missionary journey, there was a great need, was there not, for getting missionaries in all the world? And let me ask you a question tonight. Is the need greater today? Over 7 billion people in this earth. And there still is a great need to send missionaries. There still are countries and places that need missionaries all over around the world. We still have a great need. And the question I have this morning is, or this evening, has God stopped calling missionaries? Or have we stopped listening to God? I don't think God stopped calling missionaries. I don't think God stopped calling pastors. I don't think God stopped calling Sunday school workers, youth workers. I believe God's still speaking to people. I wonder, though, sometimes if we're listening. You know, it's hard for us to listen today. We have so many distractions. So much media. You know, when I sit with my kids I have to take their smartphones away so they can look me in the eye instead of looking like this. And I think sometimes we have so many means of communication, but I think we communicate less. And even so, do we take time to listen to that still, small voice of God speaking to us? Do we still listen to God? And it brings us to a fundamental question when we think about the call of God for us to full-time service. There's a fundamental question we need to ask, and that's this. Our life, my life, does it belong to me or does it belong to God? Your life. Were you saved to make your life happier and to have more money, or were you saved to bring glory to God? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And what does he say? You are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are who? God's. You were saved to bring glory to God. You weren't saved necessarily to have a happier, better life. God may, you know, when Paul, and we think back to these, when Paul was sent out and he went on these missionary journeys, and when he appealed to go to Rome, he knew what was ahead of him. He knew death was facing him. He knew he was going to be in prison, but he said that was the will of God. And of course, through his imprisonments, he wrote the epistles, and he was a testimony before Caesar. And so we live in a culture today that tells us, you deserve better. You deserve a bigger house. You deserve a better car. You deserve a bigger credit line. You deserve to be happy. You deserve all. So we live in a culture that is very individualistic and caters to the self. We wonder why we're so unhappy today, huh? What did Jesus say? He that seeks his life will what? He'll what? Lose it. But he that loses his life for my name's sake and the gospel, the same shall what? Find it. We find our life when we give our life to serving God. And so, as they were led by the Holy Spirit, it says they departed. They departed. They went and they departed. They left off where they were. They had to actually leave. And so, doing the work of God means we leave something behind. It means there's some commitment. It means there's some time. It may mean going to a foreign country like we did. It may be getting involved in another ministry in this town. It may be getting involved with stuff that takes more time. But there is that element of departing. And departing, they were led by the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was the will of God. And they went and they departed to do the will of God. Now, if I would base the character of God on how some people treat the will of God, I would say God's very confused. Because we use this term, the will of God, but if the circumstances change and they're not in our favor, we say, oh, it was God's will for me to change. We have the record in Romania. We had a missionary come and lasted 29 days. He came to the field, spent over three years on deputation, came to work with a friend of mine in a village, showed up after 29 days, came to the missionary and said, it's God's will for me to leave. He already had his ticket paid, couldn't talk him out of it, and he left. Well, I don't know what exactly God's will was for him, but I know one thing, God's will doesn't change because circumstances are difficult. And so when we're committed to do God's will, it is not always easy. It is not always pleasant. It is not always, it doesn't always feel good. It means we know this is the will of God and we're going to do it. And so I think back when we departed, you depart from your family. That's a long time ago, and I had black hair back then. And now I would say this. I don't have gray hair because I'm old. I have gray hair because I have five girls. Six with my wife. Now you know how to pray for me, huh? A lot better. And they're all teenagers. In fact, I remember a few months ago, or I don't remember when it was. I remember I had to look at Elizabeth straight in the eye and say, Elizabeth, don't talk to me that way. You're not my wife. Only my wife can talk to me that way. But when we had to depart, we left to Romania. You know, my kids grew up without their grandparents. They grew up without living in America. My mother, to this day, she's not saved, but she won't talk about Romania. She doesn't want what I can talk about anything, but when I talk about Romania, she doesn't want to hear about Romania. And now we're coming back after 20 years, and I realize something that my kids they're not Romanian. They're not American anymore. They come back in America, and they're like, those Americans. Like, they're not American. Their culture has changed. We've changed. We're not the same. And so when you depart your family. You depart, you go to another place, and you don't look back. You depart from your comfort. Some things that are comfortable to you. Some things that are just that we take for granted. We're staying in furlough in Danielson, Connecticut. And right across the street, there's a river. And they built on that river, they built a bike path. It's hardtop. It's about 5 miles along the river. Really nice. In fact, better hardtop than most of the roads in Romania. And, you know, you go for a bike ride, take a walk and that sort of thing. And you know, just to take a walk in Romania. Last time my wife and I took a walk in Romania, we went out for a walk. And there's a big problem in Romania with stray dogs. And as we were walking, we're just walking, I hear something coming. I turn around. There's a dog coming at us full speed. Now, fortunately, I can run faster than my wife. So it wasn't a problem. No. That dog was running at me, and I turned around, and I went, rah! That dog took off running. I guess I must have had bad breath or something. I've learned whenever I go walking in Romania, I usually put a couple of stones in my pocket to have as defense. And then, okay, we're going. We got through that. We're walking down the sidewalk, and this has happened several times to my wife. We're walking along, and this drunk guy stumbles, falls down right in front of my wife. She reaches out to help him, pulls a vein in her leg, and can't walk for a week. Needless to say, that was the last time we took a walk there near our house in Romania. And just some of the comforts that you take for granted, maybe you don't have in other places. Your safety. Hospitals. You know, we are all worried about our hospitals and the things that happen and the difficulty it is. You know, whenever I go to a hospital in America, I just say, praise the Lord, there's that hospital. A few years ago, Josiah broke his leg. He got hit by a car. We went to the hospital in Constanza. They wanted to cut his leg open to put in a couple of pins. We took him to Bucharest, about a three-hour drive. Finally found a doctor that would put some pins in his leg with a scope. Did that. And then we had to go back to get the pins out. And so it was the summer, and we were busy with camp. And then we went, and he wasn't there. And when you have an appointment at the hospital with the doctor, there's no secretary. There's no appointment. He says, I'll be in Thursday, and it'll be on his door Thursday, and Tuesday and Thursday between 12 and 4. And so what you do is when you try to get there, and there's a big line, usually a big line. And so when the door opens up, you just push yourself in to the front of the line, and the door closes if you get in, and the door opens up again. Of course, when JoJo was, before he had his cast off, it was even because I'd be sitting there at the front of the door. I'd go right at the front of the door holding him. I'd get right in. Well, we had gone to the doctor's, and I had dropped my wife off and Josiah because usually I have to drive around the hospital a few times to find a parking spot. So I dropped her off. She went in, Now, she went in expecting a line. There wasn't a line. So she walked in, saw the doctor, and he's telling her that, yeah, we got to get the pin out and all that. And she looks at the x-ray, and we knew the pin had to come out. But then she saw all these gifts. He had all these gifts, and he says, oh, these are all the gifts people have gotten me. And he says, you know, I really would like a pair of American soldier boots. And my wife's thinking, she has an uncle that's a Marine? She's like, well, maybe, yeah, I could do that. Then he says, I'd like you to get me an American soldier's uniform. She's thinking, okay. And then he says, I want you to get me an American motorcycle. I couldn't call Pastor Close for that. But he says, I want to put on an American soldier's uniform and ride around Bucharest on an American motorcycle. And so I came in. I didn't know this conversation had taken place. I come in, and he's all friendly with me. He's giving me his email address, phone number, saying, all right, we're going to get this pin out in the next month. Contact me. So what he was really saying is, when you get all these things lined up, then I'll take the pin out. And so I went with my wife. We had to go meet another missionary. She didn't say anything for 2 days. Finally, she told me. And so we went back to Constanza. I contacted a doctor there that I knew. We went down to a local orthopedic hospital and got the pin out. But that's part of life. When you go to the hospitals in Romania, you have to buy your own medicine, you have to bring your own food, and you have to negotiate what the doctor wants. My wife was in there every time. She was in the room in the hospital when Josiah had his surgery. The doctors would come at 8 in the morning. All the women would be talking. All right, how much do we give the doctor? How much do we give the anesthesiologist? And you would actually see them literally put the money in the pocket of the doctors. And that's what you got to look forward to, socialized medicine in America. But, you know, when you're led by the Holy Spirit and you face the trials, but God takes care of the details. There's also the good things God does. You have to face some difficulties. Yes, you have to depart. You have to go. You have to go through uncharted territory. Romania was like the Wild West in 94 when we went there. I don't have time to tell the stories. I love telling my stories of negotiating with police officers, but another time. But you go by faith and you leave the details to God. You don't know exactly what God is going to do. We went there. We didn't know what we were going to do. And had a lot of youthful energy to go and learn the language. And we went there and we were getting, you know, we just dived into the language. And we were there 2 months and God sent a man. He was a businessman going throughout Romania showing the Jesus film. He had brought over an SUV, a Suburban back then. He had this big, huge projector. And he contacted me. And he says, I want to show the Jesus film here in Constanza. Our city of Constanza is on the Black Sea coast, a city about 350,000. And so we went to 2 movie theaters. I got up after the movie theater. I said, anybody wants to know more about the Bible? We'll meet at the Culture House Sunday at 3. And that's how we started the church. And the first few meetings, we had a bunch of people. They were looking for the free Bibles. But after that, got it down to, you know, about 15, 20. Started inviting kids on our neighborhood. And had some of these kids are gypsies kids. And they started coming. In fact, the boy in the middle there, Johnny, the top picture, if you see him, he's one of the first Sunday school kids that came because he heard there was an American. And he had learned to speak English by watching the television. And so he came, he's a gypsy boy, and he told me a story later that I didn't know at the time, that he had gotten a pamphlet, a brochure, to see the Jesus film before we came. And it was done by a Romanian church. And he was right a street near the church, and he asked one of the young people where the church was, and the young person said, there's no church here. Because they didn't want the gypsy in their church. And here's this gypsy boy, comes from a broken home. He ended up living with us for 6 years in our home. till he turned 18, and then went to Bucharest, worked with another missionary, and then he was used, God used him in Brasov here. Here he is, a pastor in the church, leading the church and singing and preaching. His wife, he has two children. And here's, we just went there, and I gave the testimony about the gypsies to the men. You know, we just went there trying to reach people. I didn't realize it was a different, I thought they were all people. The Romanians had to say, no, these are gypsies. I'm like, okay. So what? They're people, they need God. And here's one of these gypsies now used as a pastor, used to get this church on its feet. And God, you know, you go, you don't know what God's going to do. But when you go by faith, God works out the details. Some of our biggest blessings have come from our most feeble efforts. Because God blesses faith. And then in 2002, we bought this piece of land. And we were praying about a piece of land. And I had a church call me and said, we're sending $24,000 to buy a piece of land. It was at Christmas time. And so we went out, negotiated, bought this piece of land for $24,000. Within 10 years, that property went up in value over $200,000. So God knew, didn't he? At the timing, and then we began praying and raising the money for the building, poured the foundation, put the building up, and then finished the building there in Constanza. There's services in the building now. We're also using the building for a Christian school. We've started with the kindergarten. By next year, hope to have first grade. We have authorization to start a Christian school up to the fourth grade. And winning people and teens. And this service, that's just a couple of weeks ago when I was there in Constanza. And when we left in August, this is Pastor Durutsu and his wife. They're now the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. God has allowed us to have a national pastor. In fact, it's interesting. He was one of the first ones to come to our church. He actually came with my translator. And when he saw somebody starting a church for them, starting a church was a new concept. And so when he saw somebody starting a church, he went off to Bible college and was working on another ministry and came back and is now the pastor of that church. And you know, when God begins to work, when you depart, go by faith, you never know the opportunities God is going to bring to you in the future. And this past May, had the opportunity to go to Italy. I found out in Italy there's over 1 million Romanians. There's over 300,000 Romanians just in Rome alone. And of course, with a name like Santino, Italy's a pretty good fit. So we went over there, made a couple of trips over there, and got to meet some of the laymen, the pastors, had connections, in fact, visited people from our church. And when I was over there a few weeks ago, I met a couple of pastors. This is Pastor Radu. He pastors a Baptist church there in Rome. They just started. In fact, I was at the second TV emission, they had bought an hour and a half on the only Romanian station in Italy. And so we did an hour and a half Bible study, call-in, talk show type format. We had people calling from all over Italy. People calling from Sicily, from Torino, from all over Romania. Of course, it was in the Romanian language. And people asking us to come. And we had one lady in Sicily saying if we would come with a team, help start a church, they would put us up and take care of everything. And so, tremendous opportunity. Radha wants me to come and help him with the TV station and help him with the discipleship. We also went and preached at the gypsy camps there in Rome. He goes there once a week and has a service outside, much like we did in Romania, have a service outside at the gypsy camp. And then I went and visited Pastor Valerica. He's another pastor. Actually, a lot of the churches in Rome were started by groups of Romanians that got together and wanted to start a church. He actually didn't have pastoral training, and he wants me to come and put in a discipleship program in his church and get him involved in discipleship and pastoral training. And he Facebooks me about once a week, asks me when I'm coming. And then we also had the opportunity to go to Terni. This is Pastor Ovidiu and his wife Alexandra. They had just started a Romanian church about a month ago. He called me. They had 50 last Sunday. And of all places, they're an hour outside of Rome, and they started a church, of all places, in the Catholic Church. The local, he looked around, tried to find a building, and the local priest said, you can meet here for free. And it's a building, it's in the old section of town where they have the walk street in Terni, and it's an old building. You go in there, it's probably seats about 60, 70. It's not a real big building, but there, of course, they want to eventually rent somewhere else. But of all places to start a Baptist church in Italy, in a Catholic church. Amazing what God is doing there in Italy through the Romanians. And then, of course, we're in Florence with Pastor Florine. And he was also, I visited him several times. And he also wants us to come and help him with evangelism and discipleship. And we visited a village probably about 45 minutes outside of Florence. When the village was all Romanians. Everywhere I walked, I was talking with Romanians. And it was funny. We went when I went with my wife in Florence. We were in the bus. We take the bus into the center of town, and I tell my wife, you know, let's talk in Romanian, so nobody knows we're Americans. And so we're talking in Romanian, and as soon as we start talking Romanian, the guy in back of us answers the phone. Alo, ce faci? He's talking in Romanian. Every time I went on the bus with Marius. We were passing out tracts. We met Romanians every time we went in the bus. And just everywhere, opportunities to preach the gospel. Also, had some opportunities in England where we have five of our church families in Newcastle have started a church. Also, a family from our church is with another group of Romanians from Constanza in Birmingham. They started a church in Romanian, but they had people that wanted to come to the service, so now they're holding the services in English. And just before I left, I was in London and with Pastor Marius at another Romanian Baptist church, preached Sunday night, and he was telling me how they want to get, they have a couple of churches they're trying to get, a lot of the English Baptist church buildings, they don't have any people, and they want to start an English service in the morning and a Romanian service at night. You know, when we went to Romania, we never would have thought that God would use the Romanians to help plant churches throughout Europe. But if you study the statistics, actually Romania is the most evangelized country in all of Europe. And we have family in Germany that's led some Germans to the Lord and other places throughout Europe. Because of the economic situation in Romania, many of them are leaving seeking employment. But God's using this. God's using this to plant churches in places where it's very hard to plant a church. And the church in Ostia near Rome, they're praying about starting an Italian church. Because it's very difficult to start with Italians or a multinational church. But because of the Romanians, they're very talented in music and different things. But it's a lot different starting a church when you have five people and when you have 20 people. It just helps a lot. So pray for us as we make a decision. We have a lot of doors open right now before us to go to places like Italy and England to help these pastors start churches and train them. And but you know what it takes tonight? It takes us departing. Paul said this. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle. What did he say? Separated unto the gospel of God. He was separated unto the gospel of God. I'm asking this tonight. What is the most important thing in your life? What are you living for? We all have heard it. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are we living for? This life is short, and we only have one. And anything we do in this earth is going to stay here. The only thing we're going to bring with us is what we do for Christ. You know, the greatest days of missions are ahead of us. They're not behind us. There are great opportunities here in Nashua, here in New England, in Romania, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa. There are South America. There are great opportunities. Doors are opening for us to get the gospel out. Has God stopped calling? I don't think so. I don't think He stopped calling missionaries. I think we're not listening. We're not thinking right. We're thinking about what we want to do. But are we thinking about what does God want me to do? They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, what did they do? They departed. They left. Now maybe for you that doesn't mean, maybe for that it does mean. Maybe that means a call to the mission field. Maybe that means a call to full-time service. Maybe that means giving up your job and going to Bible college and going to the mission field. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it means giving up some other things to be involved in this recovery ministry or youth ministry or other ministries through the church. There are so many opportunities to get the gospel out. People, we have the answer, and the only answer, for people's complicated problems is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question for us tonight, are we willing to depart? Forget about the comfort. Forget about the safety. Forget about our comfort zone. Are we willing to take that step of faith? Saying, I don't know how it's going to work. I know God wants me to do this. I don't know how it's going to work out. But faith is stepping out and leaving the details to God. Will you step out for mission? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight. We thank You for how You have worked. Lord, how You've been so gracious in our lives. And Lord, there are many people tonight that have a heart for You. Lord, may they take a step of faith and get involved in Your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.